Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rush on your side.
From the Jethro's Barbecue Studios, where Wednesday is Mug Day with $7 Cousin Cocktails. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. For 75 years, CMIC has been doing the right thing for its customers, employees, and the community. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Two on Des Moines Sports Station, 10 to noon, Miller and Condon. Welcome to it as we take you for another 50 minutes or thereabouts. Bottom of the hour, we're going to refresh our memories on the Big 12 football-wise. All these point spreads coming out. Who's there? Who's not? Who's going to be good? Oklahoma seemingly is going to be everybody's favorite. But who else should we be paying attention to? Matt Postens will help us out with that at the bottom of the hour. Well, it's game three tonight. Much anticipated after we saw Boston just get blown out in game two by Golden State. Wiggins wasn't great in that game.
No.
Thompson wasn't great in that game, and they still crushed.
Poole had a flurry, but Jordan Poole's so inconsistent.
Yep.
This is an intriguing series. We got a series. Can we get a good game, though? Can we get a good game? That's all I ask for.
Let's get John Cannon to opine on this. John Trent, Ken, thanks for coming back on. How are you, John Cannon?
I'm fine. That's a really good question, Trent.
Blowout.
Even though game one wasn't, really a blowout, but it felt like it. Yep. It felt like if they had played another 5 minutes, Boston could have won by 40. But game two was over early. That a whole basically Boston let go of the rope with 11 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And here's where that could come back to haunt them. Steph Curry didn't play the whole fourth quarter.
Nope.
And they love when Steph Curry doesn't play the whole fourth quarter.
Right.
And especially when he's got two nights off after that.
Uh-huh.
And I remember the first series the Warriors played in the finals against the Cavs. And their game three, Cleveland kind of did the same thing to the Warriors that the Warriors did to Boston the other night. They were up 20 early. But the Warriors never let go of the rope. And LeBron James wound up playing about 38 or 40 minutes in that game. And later in the series, he ran out of gas. So that's just something to kind of keep in the back of your mind, the Celtics pulled their young, fresh, their young starters. And those guys shouldn't need, to not play the fourth quarter in order to be fresh, except for Smart, who's, had the injury issue and Williams. But the rest of those guys, could have played and didn't. And I just thought that was an interesting decision that they made.
Yeah, Tatum was on the bench. We'll see. So I keep coming back, John, to just kind of where we started. Thompson didn't have his best night. 11. He's better. He's got, he's not the same guy, we don't think, but he certainly can go off on any given night for more than 11. Wiggins has been good throughout the entire playoffs. He only had 11. And Boston was hammered in that game. That's why I hope it's a long series. Just Golden State looks to me like they're just a better basketball team.
Well, it looks to me like they're figuring it out, right, Ken? I mean, that's what they do in these long series is they figure it out. And what they're figuring out, first of all, is that Wiggins needs help offensively because he is working so hard on defense and so well that you can't look to him to also provide offense in this series. So it's going to have to be and Poole did step up with that flurry at the end of the third quarter. They wound up being really the dagger series after Curry had hit, several pretty open threes. And that's something, it comes down to turnovers. The Celtics basically said that yesterday, and it's right, because if the Warriors get live ball turnovers and they can get in transition Boston does not match up well in transition. The Warriors are really hard to match up with anyway because they have ways of hiding Curry in transition, and all of a sudden he's wide open for a three. So that's a big deal. Boston needs this to be a half-court game. Their half-court defense is very good and very long and big. We talked about that last week.
Yep.
That's the biggest challenge for the Warriors is the length of the Celtics. But again, Poole, first game, he went in and got a bunch of stuff blocked at the rim. Second game, especially this his second stint in game two, he did not do that. He went in and made a great pass to Looney, and then he hit a mid-range, and then he hit a couple of threes. He's not going to be taking the ball in against Robert Williams anymore. I think the Warriors are all convinced. Okay, let's not take the ball in against Robert Williams anymore. Yeah. Did you see Wiggins when he had that steal in game one?
I did, yes.
And he had a breakaway, but it was Robert Williams.
Uh-huh.
And he took it to him, and Williams blocked it. They got lucky because Williams stepped out of bounds. But, I think they've got that part figured out. They're not going up against Robert Williams at the rim anymore.
It's a good thought. Well, what are the most simple stats? We talk about three-point shooting all the time. You make a lot of threes, and the other team doesn't. You're going to win in today's basketball. But another one for Boston has been turnovers. And this stat was just absolutely flooring that I read here today. When they have 15 turnovers or fewer, they're 13-2 in the playoffs. When they have 16 turnovers or more, they're 0-5. It's a team that's not built with a prototypical point guard. That's not Marcus Smart. That's not what he is. We've seen Tatum struggle with his handles at times. Certainly Brown has had issues handling the basketball here. Seems pretty simple, right? Get them going faster than they want. Turn them over. You're going to beat the Boston Celtics. Is it that simple, John?
Yes, and it's personified by a name that we talked about last week, Gary Payton II. That was the difference in Game 2. The 25 minutes he played instead of the 15 minutes that Andre Iguodala played, that was the difference in Game 2. I thought it would be addition by subtraction. I think I texted you after the game, Trent, that I thought Iguodala killed him in Game 1. He was unfocused. He was throwing the ball all over the place. He made a couple of defensive mistakes. He committed a foul or contributed to a foul being committed with 1.5 seconds left to go in the third when the Warriors still had that lead, and they needed every bit of that lead, as it turned out, and more. But they committed a foul with 1.5 seconds, and he was part of that. I don't think he got the foul, but he was right in there. And I thought they should not have brought him back in the fourth quarter. I thought he showed in the second quarter that he was not ready. After being out for a month, he was not ready to play at that level in that game. And yet they put him out there in the fourth quarter. And later I heard Payton had been cleared by doctors, but only for very spot duty. And so they just decided, let's not play him. And he was fully good to go in game two. And, man, he changes everything because, as you said, Tatum doesn't have a good handle. Smart doesn't have a great handle. Brown doesn't have a great handle. And Gary Payton II will take your lunch money from you if you don't have a good handle. And even if you do, he's no picnic. I mean, a lot of times in the Memphis series before Morant got hurt, Morant, they throw him the ball inbounding. He throw it to somebody else to bring it up the floor because Payton was on him. Guys don't want to bring the ball up against him. Watch this part of this game. I know you have listeners who bet on different parts of the game, and they watch the game very closely. Well, watch whoever Gary Payton is guarding and see how often that player does not bring the ball up because it's too much trouble. But then he gets into passing lanes, he goes over screens, and if you've got a weakness in your handle, he's going to find it. So that does rush players. The speeding up players, that's exactly the term I've heard, Trent, that you just used. It got Boston out of their comfort zone, and it contributes to those live ball turnovers. I mean, a turnover where the ball goes out of bounds, that's not good, obviously, but it's not like the live ball turnovers that turn into fast breaks. And that's the other thing Payton does, is he pushes the pace. When they get a turnover or even a rebound and he's in the game, the pace of the game, and I don't know the stat off the top of my head, but it's significantly faster when he's in the game than when he's not. You know, Draymond kind of has the same effect, but there are other players that even when they get a turnover or a rebound, they're just ready to walk the ball off the court. Well, against Boston, that's deadly. You get them, let them get set in their half-court defense, and it's really can be a problem. So keep an eye on that tonight. The live ball turnovers that turn into buckets. I mean, the number of points the Warriors got off, it was 18 turnovers or something like that.
Yeah, it was.
They got 33 points. I mean, you should get 1 point per turnover, basically. Warriors got almost two.
Yeah, a huge difference in the basketball game. You know, I hate to steal a line from Lee Sterling, but I think the wrong team's favored. I really do. I mean, Golden State.
Well, I can see tonight that the expectation in Boston is that, you know, Boston's going to bring back their physical game that they had.
Yeah, but
in game
Marcus
one.
Smart's a shell. And part of that is Marcus Smart, who is without a doubt, he's hurt. I mean, he was bad in game two. He didn't play a bunch. But look at his line. He's 1-for-6, 0-for-3 from 3-point. Right? Played 25 minutes, had 5 assists, but 4 turnovers, 5 turnovers. Hmm. He's not the same guy. Wrong team's favored in this, John.
Well, the Warriors really stepped up their defense and stepped up. And again, with Payton, it just makes it huge. Because now you got Wiggins and Payton, two great wing defenders. That's a lot different than one. It's almost like a house that has one bathroom and another house has two bathrooms.
So let me
ask
you this.
That's a really big difference.
No, I'm with you. So when did Wiggins start to focus on the defensive end of the floor? Because he was allergic to defense in the Twin Cities.
Oh, he's played great defense ever since he came to Golden State. He really has. He's been literally a small W warrior for that team. Even when they were terrible, he was good for, you know, 30, 35 minutes a game, always guarded the other team's best player. And was very happy doing that. And once in a while, he'd score 20 points. And in the playoffs this year, he's been magnificent defensively, and that he's been playing the four defensively in most of the series, because the first teams they were playing in the Western Conference playoffs were playing small against them. So Looney was out, Draymond was playing the five, Wiggins was playing the four, and he was guarding like against Memphis. That means you're guarding a really big guy. And he was doing it, and he's done it very well. And so that was one thing they were not worried about, was they would have a good defender on either Tatum or Brown, and it would be Wiggins. The first game, they had Green on Horford, and the problem with that is that Horford's not interesting enough, and Green kept leaving him and to go do other things that were more interesting. And Horford would hit all these threes. Well, the second game, they put Green on Brown, and he can't leave Brown. So now Brown's got Green on him, Tatum's got Wiggins on him, Payton's got Smart, and that's tough. Warriors are tough defensively when they have that lineup.
John, Ken brought up a little bit earlier what we've seen from Klay Thompson. He was great in the closeout game against Dallas, but this has not been certainly the Klay Thompson we're accustomed to. Concerned, nervous, and if it's going poorly again tonight and they don't have another great third, and it's the end of the third and he's 2 of 11 from the field and not playing top-level defense, do they make a change? Is it more Jordan Poole?
I think you're going to see a lot more Otto Porter. If that happens, you're going to see a lot more Otto Porter and a lot less Klay Thompson. I think the fourth quarter in Game 2 was Kerr's giving Thompson some run to try to figure it out, and he obviously didn't and couldn't. So I don't think they'll bench him, but I think they'll be quicker to go away. Now, one of the things they're also doing in moving the defense around, and Payton allows them to do this, is now Klay can guard a big. You know, and he's 6'7", and there are times when, like, Horford has him back down and tries to score over him and doesn't. I mean, Klay can't guard the quick guys anymore. Maybe he'll be able to get back to that level, but he's not there yet. But he can guard bigs down low. So he's doing that. But his scoring, I mean, his three-point shot, a lot of times it's a turnover. It's a live ball turnover. It's going to bounce almost to half court and turn into a layup the other way. So they really have to reel that in. And he should be catching and shooting. He should not be creating. He should not be hunting shots. He should be, you know, run a pin down for him. He pops out. He gets the ball. He shoots it. And if he misses a couple of those, then, you know, play defense the rest of the way, and we'll see you back in Oakland in Game 5, or San Francisco, I guess.
So what do you anticipate? We'll get you out of here on this. Is this a – boy, it sure feels like – I hate to say it, but I'm starting to think that this thing – I mean, we may not even get 6 games. Is that
crazy?
Well,
this is a pretty big one for that,
yeah,
isn't it? If the Warriors get this one, you really could be right. I mean, they need to get two. They need to get one out of two.
Get a split,
Boston.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. But man, if they get that first one, they're not going to play like Boston did in Game 2.
No.
I mean, that Boston had, we got one disease in Game 2. Mm-hmm. And actually, this was the next thing I was going to tell you last week, if we'd had a little more time, is that first game after a team plays a couple of seven gamers, that first game adrenaline gets you through, you know? But then you've got 2 days off in San Francisco, by the way, a place where you can distract yourself at night if you want to. And then to come back and play a game two when you've already won game one, that's a tough task emotionally for a team. So if the Warriors get game one, though, out of these two, they are not going to take, they're going to put the hammer down and try to get the game four so they can win game five at home and end this thing.
Better chance.
So big game tonight.
Yeah, I'll say.
Golden State wins game three or wins game four. What do you give them a better shot at?
Or both?
I'd say give them a better shot in game four, because if they lose tonight, I just don't think they will allow themselves to lose game four. Mm-hmm. And it's a two days off, or 1 day off rather. And I think that they're right now just, they're in peak condition. They are really, again, having Peyton back makes a huge difference for all that, because everybody else gets a little bit, you know, he just takes so much of the load off the, you know, because he's an on-ball defender. I mean, that's a big deal. You got a guy that can give you 25 minutes on the ball who wasn't playing before. So I know I keep saying that, but I would say their better chance would be game four if you made me ask. But I think this is a coin flip tonight.
John Cannon, appreciate you coming on, John. We shall see. Feels like the wrong team's favorite to me, but it's great that we've got a game three tonight.
I'd be happy to chat with you Thursday if you have time. Or
well, we've got Bobby Hansen tomorrow to opine on this tomorrow, but we'll grab you next week, all right?
Okay, sounds great.
Thank you, John. John Cannon, as we check in with him, get his thoughts on game three. Am I crazy?
No, not at all.
Do you like Boston?
I like Boston initially. We've seen the numbers. Mm-hmm. They haven't lost back-to-back games in, what, I think 56 games now, since they've gone back-to-back losses, since what we saw back in 2021, as they really flipped the switch in 2022 in January. So that's where I was initially. But the more that I've dug in, I'll make my play officially later, but I'm taking Golden State, not the 3.5.
No, play them on the money line.
Play them the money line, absolutely.
Plus 130.
Well, and at Circa...
What are they at Circa?
Well, you get a little better price, plus 141.
Shop around, folks.
It's just, it's not every time.
Right. No, it's not.
But at Circa, it's a majority of the time. Mm-hmm. And plays out again here with that one. It was 141 when I fired this morning on Golden State on the money line. That's where I'm going to go. It was three pretty easy decisions for me today. I don't know. Should I just stay with my three when we get to the picks at the end of the show? You know that's going to be difficult for me.
Yeah. Curry didn't play. I know Tatum didn't play. Curry was playing better. Mm-hmm. They were both playing well. That's unfair to say that he was head and shoulders, but Curry was great. Thompson Wiggins did not have a good game offensively. One of those guys will get it going tonight. One of them. Peyton and I probably played, 25 minutes? So.
And Boston hasn't been great at home during these playoffs.
They're better on the road.
Yeah. I think we got the right side of this one.
I do, too. Lee Sterling, the wrong team is favored. Boy, I look forward to those Thursdays with Sterling. It just means
it's right around the corner.
Here. I know it is. It's coming up on 11:25. We'll take our time out. Matt Poston's going to help us out. Little Big 12 conversation with Mr. Poston's from Heartland College Sports. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
If you're thinking of incorporating or setting up an Iowa LLC, zoom right past LegalZoom and work with Rush Nigget, a Brick Gentry PC. He set up an affordable online small business package that helps you decide whether to form a limited liability company, LLC, or a corporation. With Rush Nigget's help, it's easy to form your new small business. Rush Nigget, a business lawyer with Brick Gentry Law PC. Go to rushonbusiness.com. It's good to have Rush in Ankeny.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com.
Trent Condon here for the Grumpy Gavern. Sometimes after arguing with Ken on the radio show, I just need a beer. Or after a long night of calling a game, I just need a beer. Well, my favorite place to stop is the Grumpy Goat Tavern, with two locations in West Des Moines and First Street in Ankeny, where I can stop and grab that cold one. And they have over 50 beers on tap. Of course, my favorite's the domestics, but If you're more adventurous, they have you covered.
And it's not just drinks.
The Grumpy Goat Tavern takes bar food to a new level.
I'll see you next time at the Grumpy Goat Tavern.
And planning your perfect pool today.
Wolf Construction and Wolf Roofing are currently hiring.
What makes Wolf Construction a better place to work is that when we think about developing the whole person is important, whether that person is a new carpenter laborer on a job site or that person's a project accountant that works in the office, it doesn't matter who. It becomes more than just a job where companies show up to. It becomes part of the Wolf family.
Competitive pay, excellent benefits, and a $1,000 sign-on bonus. Apply today at Wolf Construct.
Your place.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Well, as we said over the last couple of days, you really need to go back to school or refresh your course when you leave college football behind in late December, early January, and point spreads start coming out, and you want to get involved, but you're just not familiar with what's left on those rosters. Matt Poston covers football, and well, he covers everything at Heartland College Sports. He's got his College Football America yearbook that I'm assuming he's up to his you-know-what and trying to get that bad boy to come together, and he joins us. Hello, Matt Poston. Trent and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you? Oh, got to hit the button here, Matt. My apologies. How are you, Matt Postens?
Good. I'm doing well, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well. I'm glad to have you on because, look, as I mentioned, point spreads are coming out. Seems like Oklahoma's getting a lot of love. This time every year we're looking for that team not named Oklahoma or Texas, you know, to be in contention. It wasn't either of them last year. It was Oklahoma State and Baylor who played for a Big 12 championship. But there's a lot of Oklahoma love. Dylan Gabriel taking over at the quarterback position, new head coach, etc. Is Oklahoma, in your mind, deserved of all the love that they seemingly are getting at this point, Matt?
Well, I think somewhat. I think one of the things you're going to have to take into account with Oklahoma is I think they're going to be solid at the quarterback position, not just because of Dylan Gabriel, but because their offensive coordinator, Jeff Levy, who was at Ole Miss, was at UCF and coached Gabriel before he got to Oklahoma. So they have a rapport, and I think that's going to help them accelerate what they're able to do on offense. I think at the end of the day, they're going to be in the mix, but I don't think they're – given what they lost in the transfer portal, what you know, players walked away and what players came in, I don't think they're head and shoulders above anybody in the conference, at least on paper. I think Baylor can be competitive with them. I think Oklahoma State can be competitive with them. I even think Texas can be competitive with them if a few things fall in place. So I think probably more so than in recent years, this is going to be a more competitive conference at the top as opposed to one team being at the top and everybody chasing them.
Couple of new coaches make their way into the Big 12 down in Texas. TCU brings in Sonny Dyke, certainly a name that a lot of people know. Joey McGuire, though, at Texas Tech, incredibly intriguing. Look at the recruiting class he's already putting together for 2023. Still ranked second at 24/7. Nuts to think about that for Texas Tech. And I know having a lot of commitments is a big part of that there. But of the two new coaches down there in Texas, Sonny Dyke's at TCU, McGuire at Texas Tech, who would you put your bet on? Who's more successful at their job?
You know, honestly, I think McGuire. You know, here's a guy who part of the whole reason that Tech wanted him was because of his high school football ties here in Texas. In fact, he and Jeff Traylor, who's the head coach at UTSA and was a head coach at Gilmer High School at one point, they're going to be on the cover of Dave Campbell's Texas Football, which if you know anything about Texas football, that is a big honor to be on the cover of that magazine every year. McGuire was a head coach at a Dallas area high school before he became an assistant coach at Baylor. He has deep recruiting ties within the state. If you think about the players that Baylor has brought in over the last few years, both under Matt Rhule and Dave Aranda, Joey McGuire had a lot to do with that. He's improved Tech's recruiting profile. He's exactly the kind of coach I think Tech needs at this stage in their development because they're not just trying to rebuild their football program and make themselves a consistent bowl-eligible team again. They need somebody who wants to be in the area. McGuire wants to be there. They're, you know, building new facilities on campus. They're making a bigger commitment to football because when Texas and Oklahoma transition away, they want to try and be positioned to be the big dog in this conference. And McGuire, I think, puts them in a position to do that. I think he he's showing a better rapport with recruits. I think Dykes has done a fine job, but I think long-term, I think McGuire may end up being the better answer for his school than Dykes at TCU.
Interesting. And Donovan Smith, remember Chuck transferred from Oregon? He was going to be the dude. I got hurt, right? I think, yeah, he got hurt early in the season. Donovan Smith was terrific against Iowa State. I remember that vividly as they got past Iowa State. Is Smith going to win that job this year? Or Shuck, obviously, he'll compete for it. Who ultimately will win?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch because I think they both bring certain assets to that position. I think it's really going to depend entirely on what kind of offense McGuire and his staff settle on. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see them both splitting reps to start the season, just to see how things go. Shuck's going to give them a steadier hand because he has a lot more experience at the position, but Smith's got a lot of athletic ability and a lot of escapability. He can create things when plays break down that Shuck isn't able to do. I saw Shuck in person last year, early in the season. I was impressed with his ability as a quarterback, but I think maybe by Big 12 play, it might be Donovan Smith's job, at least to start with.
So Texas is always so intriguing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the conversation with them, you got the new signal caller now in Quinn Ewers, and he started his career at Ohio State, the NIL money, everything else.
Is he a cinch to win that job?
Well, good question. Probably. Right there for Matt. And just this team of overall, they got to fix the offensive line, got to fix the defense. Does that happen in your mind in year two, and what about that quarterback spot?
Starting a quarterback, I think ultimately Ewers will get the job. I think Card was competitive with them in the spring, and I think they'll continue to compete. But I don't think Steve Sarkisian wants another repeat of last year where he toggled between Hudson Card and Casey Thompson. I think he wants to commit to somebody at the beginning of the season, and I think that somebody's going to be Quinn Ewers. He has a big arm. Like you said, he was at Ohio State. I actually saw him, practice before the Michigan game up there in November. But he's already got a year of college under his belt. He seems to have acclimated quickly to being in Austin, and I think it's where he wants to be. As for the rest of the team, Sarkisian made it clear in April, and I think I conveyed this to you guys the last time we talked, was they feel like the success of their team offensively is going to be, Bijan Robinson and whether or not they can run the ball when the defense knows they're going to run the ball. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, rebuilding that offensive line, getting them to a point where they can be that kind of an offensive line where they can impose their will on the defense and make things easier for Bijan Robinson and the rest of that stable of running backs, that's going to be the real determinative factor, at least early on in their success. The nice thing is because you have a Bijan Robinson, you don't have to lean on Quinn Ewers as much. I see him becoming a quarterback that kind of develops and becomes more productive over the course of the season, whereas they lean on that running game early on, which should be a really interesting test against Alabama in the second week because obviously they have a great run defense and a great defense overall.
K-State's got my attention. Deuce Vaughn is back. They won more games than I thought they were going to win last year, including they've won their bowl game, didn't they? Yeah, they did. They finished they played after January 1st. Weren't they the ones that played in Houston?
Against LSU.
LSU, thank you, yeah. Trent. Yes. So Adrian Martinez, the former Husker quarterback, is going to be the guy. They've got a running game with Vaughn. Martinez can run it. Maybe not the most accurate quarterback, but he's got and he's tough. You got to give that to him because he took some shots in the Big Ten. What do you see K-State's ceiling this year?
I think they can win, honestly, 8 or 9 games. I saw Martinez in person last year against Fordham, and I came away from that game being a bit more impressed than I was expecting to be. I mean, yes, he doesn't have the most accurate arm, but he's tough. He understands how to run an offense. And I think, within the framework of what K-State likes to do offensively, I think he's a really good fit. I mean, they're going to lean on Deuce Vaughn. They're going to lean on running the football and controlling the game. That's what they do best. I think they're stealthily better defensively than I think people are giving them credit for. They've got 2 or 3 kids that are popping up on preseason All-American teams, so they've got some talent throughout that team. I could see them winning 8 or 9 games and being one of those really kind of stealthy, contenders for that, second Big 12 championship playoff berth. I don't think they would win the conference outright, but I think they could put themselves in a position to get to the championship game if a few things fall into place and, guys like Deuce Vaughn and Adrian Martinez have big, big seasons.
Well, we've talked, 10, 12 minutes here, and we haven't brought up the reigning champions or the team that they played in that championship game, which was a great one, Baylor and Oklahoma State. people like him. What are your thoughts on the two teams that we saw play for the championship a year ago, the Cowboys and the Bears?
I think they're both well-positioned. Jeez. I mean, having Blake Shapen, a quarterback, yeah. having that mm-hmm. settled early on during spring workouts, I think is going to benefit Baylor greatly. They've lost some key pieces, no question, on both sides. But you know, Dave Aranda has now got the pipeline to the point where he has quality talent at those positions, like running back, like safety, where he can lean on guys who have been in the system for a couple of years. You know, as for Oklahoma State, I mean, you've still got Spencer Sanders at quarterback, so you've still got talent and experience there, and I think that comes in handy. I think a big question for them is with Jim Knowles going to take the defensive job at Ohio State, as far as coordinating that defense, are they going to be similar to what they were last year? Is there going to be a drop-off? Can their new coordinator kind of take them to a new level defensively? Because that was the real differentiator for Oklahoma State last year, was their ability to play defense. If they can play at that level again defensively, they're going to be a big determinant who wins this conference.
Matt, I'll put two of these together for the sake of time. Your thoughts on Iowa State, and then is this the year that JT Daniels lives up to those five stars that were beside his name when he left high school? Didn't work out, obviously, USC, Georgia, he's now at West Virginia. Your thoughts on Iowa State and JT Daniels, does he take a step forward?
Boy, I think West Virginia sure hopes you're right about that with JT Daniels. I mean, that was a big get for them. I think relative to the program and where West Virginia is, that was one of their biggest gets in terms of the transfer portal, was to get a quarterback with that kind of experience, but also still, I think, has a ceiling. I don't think he has met, the level where he can be as a quarterback, and now West Virginia's job is to get him there. He's got quality weapons around him. They've got another stealthily good defense, in my opinion. I think it's going to be interesting to watch, because I think he can get there. It's a question of whether or not the pieces around him fall into place. As for Iowa State, I mean, obviously, I think there's some level of rebuilding to do with all the players that were lost in the draft, including Brock Purdy. It doesn't mean they can't be a bowl team this year, but I think we're going to really – this is the point in time where we start to see – with Matt Campbell, okay, we think he's built a program. Now we need to see what the program does, with Iowa State 2.0, so to speak, mm-hmm. because a lot of those players that helped them get to where they were in the Big 12 championship game in 2020 are gone now. So if you're going to build a program that's going to be sustainable, you've got to start bringing these kids in each year that can help you sustain that level, and I'm interested to see how good they'll be this year, especially with new players at quarterback and running back.
Quick hit on this, we'll get you out. Baseball, softball, College World Series, two Big 12 teams facing off there, and the final three teams in the college women's softball tournament were from there, and two alive in baseball. What do you look to see with the hardball on both sides?
Well, with baseball, Texas has never played Eastern Carolina before, and East Carolina won their regional. So I think that's a really intriguing matchup for Texas. I saw both Texas and Oklahoma at the Big 12 tournament. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see them both get to Omaha. I think Texas might have a slightly better matchup than Oklahoma, but Oklahoma really kind of had to gut out that win over Florida. I think it was like a 5 or 6 hour rain delay. I wrote the story on that game. It started at 1. It stopped at 3, and I don't think it started again until 8. So it was a 5 hour wait for that game to finally get going. But Oklahoma's got quality starting pitching, they've got quality offense, and I think it's very possible both of them could be in Omaha. As for tonight's game between Oklahoma and Texas, watch it. If you haven't watched any college softball this year, watch it, because Oklahoma's got a fantastic team. They've got perhaps the best power hitter in the history of college softball in Jocelyn Allo, and Texas is that team that just hit all cylinders at the right time. They're the first unseeded team to get to the Women's College World Series. It should be a lot of fun, not just the fact that it's a national championship series, but it's the Red River rivalry between these two teams, and that just heightened the awareness with both of those fan bases and really across the country.
How deep into the College Football America Yearbook 2022 are you?
Pretty deep. I just actually kind of wrapped up FCS last night. We're starting to work our way through the different divisions. We're actually going to have Clayton Tune, the Houston quarterback, on the cover this year. So not Big 12, but the future of the Big 12 in terms of Houston coming into the conference. So we hope to have that ready by the end of the month and out in different outlets, hopefully by early July. So Working hard. Not a lot of sleep on my part right now.
I bet there isn't. Hey, Matt, listen, as always, thank you for doing this so I feel smarter about the Big 12 and kind of getting up to speed after speaking with you. Thank you, Matt Postens. Appreciate it. We'll talk in the weeks ahead, okay?
Sounds great, guys. Appreciate it.
Good to talk to you, Matt Postens. Follow him on Twitter, at Postens Postcards. Matt Postens is Heartland College Sports. What a great resource for the Big 12.
It really is.
It really. They do a lot of work over there, a lot of good work over there.
Derek Duke, Pete Mundo, yep. And the whole crew, always information they're delving into deeper too. They got softball coverage, they got baseball coverage, they got women's basketball coverage now. So it's more from starting from football.
Yeah.
Then they added basketball.
No, they've expanded. Yeah,
and they keep going. And I know they got a podcast network now started up. They have right now, I believe, both a Kansas State, and Oklahoma podcast, a Texas, and they're working on an Iowa State one, I heard Pete Mundo say a week or two ago.
So. Working on it with who? Searching for one?
Right, yes, yeah. But trying to put together a podcast network with everyone.
Why don't they just put Bloom and Williams?
Because they work for a different company.
Okay, so that's not the type of business that they're doing. They want it under their umbrella.
Right.
Gotcha. Yep. They're not a clearinghouse, if you will, right. For podcasts. All right, we'll take our time out. Trent's play of the day. If you've been listening to the program, you've got a pretty good idea which way he's going.
Yes.
But we will do that next. Miller and Condon. One final segment on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.0.com.
Des Moines homeowners have two questions. What's the best time to rent out my home? And what's the best way to do it? The best time is when you're moving, relocating, combining households, inheriting a house, or you just don't want to pay a mortgage anymore. The best way to rent? Hire Renter's Warehouse. Whether you have one home or a property portfolio, Renter's Warehouse does the work so you don't have to. They perfectly price your property so you don't have to. They find great tenants in just 17 days on average so you don't have to. And for a small flat monthly fee, their professional landlords manage your property 24/7 so you don't have to. Collect the rent? You don't have to. Maintenance, inspections, and tax paperwork? You don't have to. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Find out what your home will rent for by calling 515-528-4429 or go to renterswarehouse.com. That's renterswarehouse.com. Renter's Warehouse Des Moines. You can't buy happiness. Victory Mounds is your ace when it comes to premium baseball and softball products and services. Utilizing our vast game and industry expertise, we sell portable pitching mounds, field equipment, and field products that we trust, use, and have used when coaching or playing. But that's not all. Victory Mounds Field Consulting Services can help you improve the quality and playability of your field. Craig Allison has years of experience in the mound business and is Victory Mounds' national sales executive, while Mike Donahoe is in charge of field equipment and products. Visit victorymounds.com to see what Victory Mounds can do for you.
For details.
Trent's Pick of the Day is brought to you by Circus Sports. Download the Circus Sports app today to play with Trent or against him.
All right, Miller and Condon, final couple of minutes. Murf and Andy coming up at 1, the Fanatics at 3. Hawks Central tonight goes at 6. Are you working a double shift today?
I am,
yeah. You're a Fanatic?
I'll be a Fanatic today, hanging out with Ross this afternoon, be on with him, starting at 3 o'clock. Looking forward to throwing it a little around with Petey, always a fun conversation with
Absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely. Well, let's get to your play of the day. Circus Sports sponsors that. We know you're going to take the Yankees to beat the Twins.
Yes.
We know you're going to come right back with the Red Sox to beat the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 12 or 13 now? 13?
13, yeah.
And we both like Boston tonight. Does it end there? Have you found something else?
So we got Golden State plus 141 money line, Yankees minus 167, Red Sox minus 149. A little too much favorite for my love, so...
Put them together.
No, we're not going to do that. We're going to jump on the Guardians today. Bieber's back on the bump. Going to lay the 1.5 against the Rangers. Plus 145 with that, with the Guardians here this afternoon.
And they split yesterday, correct? Yeah, they did. They split.
And, we got golf starting tomorrow. You know I'm firing at that. I'm back on the well with Matthew Fitzpatrick. 19-1 this week. Taking him to win, I got a bunch of top 20. Shane Lowry, Ty Hatton, CT Pan, Brian Stewart's 8-1 to make the top 20. Yeah, we're all over the place
so,
in golf.
But when you bet top 20, can you break even if you got one or two of your guys?
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's not a big price to be top 20 for the most part.
Like a guy like Shane Lowry, who's like the eighth betting choice, top 20 is minus 125.
Okay.
But some of the other ones like Ty Hatton,
mm-hmm.
he's plus 125. CT Pan, plus 225. Then I got a couple long shots in there, too.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. We are Miller and Condon near Trent and I, 10 to noon, Monday through Friday, right here on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.